This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Last week, former NBA star Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was named assistant coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. Abdul-Jabbar was a 6-time NBA Most Valuable Player and 2-time scoring champion. The Clippers is the team with the youngest players and the worst record in the NBA, but it's a start. Abdul-Jabbar has wanted to coach for a long time, but was unable to land a position, with one exception. In 1998, when he was 51, he was invited to be an assistant coach of a high school basketball team on the White Mountain Apache Reservation in Arizona, where he already had friends. Abdul-Jabbar collects artifacts of the American West and has a special interest in the Buffalo Soldiers, the African-American cavalry regiment formed after the Civil War. The high school couldn't even afford to pay him, but it offered something he needed more at the time, an opportunity to find out if he had the temperament and dedication to coach. He writes about his stay there in his new memoir, A Season on the Reservation. I spoke with him a few days before he joined the Clippers. He says that when he first watched the Apache team play, he saw a lot of bad habits, including the players' emphasis on running.
Well, it's one thing to run under control and have a purpose. I mean, that's what the running game is all about in basketball. But to run just to be running and to see what happens is not usually the way the game is played. And that's how they did it. They just got the ball down the court any way they could. It didn't matter if it was a pass or if it went off somebody's shoulder. They got the ball down the court and threw up a shot and then ran down the other end and did the same thing. And that was the way that they played the game.
Something else you noticed, they not only didn't talk trash on the court, they were almost mute on the court. And you thought that that was a real problem.
Oh, yeah. The lack of communication between the players on the court was really something that really startled me. Every good basketball team is a team that communicates well, and they understand what they want to do on offense and defense, and they talk to each other about it as things happen, as things unfold. And the Apache kids were completely silent. It was rare that you heard them say anything to each other on the court. Most of what you heard on the court was would come from the coach telling them to do specific things or run a certain play.
Now, what about the cultural differences? Did you think at any point, well, the fact that they're quiet on the court, that they don't communicate well, is that a kind of cultural thing?
It certainly is a cultural thing. The Apaches appreciate silence. You know, they spent a lot of time in the past century setting ambushes, whether as hunters or as warriors, fighting other tribes or fighting the U.S. cavalry. And silence and stealth is an Apache trait that served them very well, and it's part of their folklore. So that is something that comes naturally to them and makes them a little bit tough to coach when you got to get people talking to each other on defense and talking to each other when they try to set up an offensive play.
So how did you handle that, you know, being respectful of the history of silence and stealth and yet saying, look, it's the court, you know, you got to communicate?
My approach was to let them know how it helped them, mm-hmm. To tell them why they needed to do this in order to help their game and so that we could have an advantage. And it started to improve a little bit. Certain times in practice, something would happen, and I was able to make a point here or there and start the ball moving in terms of them learning a different way of doing things.
Now, you point out that a lot of the players on the team had a lot of personal problems that reflected larger problems on the reservation. There was a lot of alcoholism on the team, as there was on the reservation. A lot of the kids had family problems at home that were reflected in their performance on the court. Were these problems that you were used to from your own high school or from, you know, the lives of other players you had worked with in the NBA?
Well, not necessarily my own high school days, but, you know, I'm from a part of New York City called Harlem, and the negative things that affect Harlem are the same things that affect the kids on this reservation. Substance abuse, lack of a good educational system, very few economic opportunities, a history of defeat. There are a lot of things that are similar that drive people to do self-destructive things, and these things affect people in any disadvantaged part of America. It doesn't matter if it's the ghetto or a barrio or Appalachia. These things are common, and they have the same effect on people and families.
You describe one of the coaches as having had problems being a good disciplinarian because he was also the kid's guidance counselor, and he had to deal with the kid's home problems, their drinking problems, and self-esteem problems. And it was hard for him to discipline them. What was your approach to disciplining kids who were having personal problems?
Well, I didn't want them to feel that I'm here to persecute you. That gets nothing done and only makes enemies. I tried to let them know that this was constructive criticism. I tried to improve their play and show them that if they did some of the things that I told them to do the way I did it, they would win more games and they would have more fun playing the game. And it took a while before that got through to them. They just weren't ready to accept it. And, you know, they figured that I'd be gone at the end of the season and, you know, they could continue doing it the way they wanted to do it.
You say no coach ever spared your feelings if the coach believed that criticizing you would make you a better player. I'm wondering what things you really appreciated from the coaches that you had and what things you really wanted to do different from the coaches you had had.
I had really great coaches in high school and college, which is the two areas that are most crucial for a basketball player in becoming better. And I had really good men coach me at those times of my life. And consequently, I benefited from it.
You say you didn't like coaches who tried to push your emotional buttons. Like what?
You get coaches that tell you that so-and-so is coming and he's going to make you look bad. You know, it's a direct challenge to your pride. I always was self-motivated and did not need to have people tell me that so-and-so was coming to try to make me look bad. I understood that instinctively, and I always tried to prepare myself to be at my best.
What about the high school players you were coaching? Did you think that they were self-motivated?
Their motivation wasn't necessarily to be the best basketball players they could be. For them, playing basketball had a lot of social significance. You know, being on the team was a feather in their cap, so to speak. Pardon
status.
The pun. Yeah, status, prominence, you know, just the attention that they got from being on the team. That would be part of it. A lot of them didn't really think that they needed to improve anything. And getting them to understand that everybody can improve, and it took a while.
So how did you motivate them? In addition to trying to show them that your approach might improve their game, did you punish certain kids or have them do push-ups or, you know, run around the court?
Things that I kept harping on them about, and then they kept doing it. Finally, I got to the point where, you know, when they would make the transgression, I'd have them hop down and give up 5 push-ups. And, you know, that being singled out like that, they didn't want to do that. And as a group, they started to try to eliminate certain mistakes.
You say that Apache boys are particularly sensitive to criticism and they don't like to be separated from the group or singled out for any reason. So did you try to be, like, more sensitive to that when you singled somebody out for sloppy moves on the court, or when you singled somebody out and told them they had to do 5 push-ups? Or did you think, you know, the heck with it, it's my job to make them better players and single them out?
Well, I went on ahead and singled them out, but I didn't do it in a roughshod way. I didn't try to be abusive or, you know, mocking in my criticism. I had a reason to do it, and it was to improve their play and hopefully to improve the prospects of the team in the postseason. That's what everybody was focused on, trying to win the state championship. So in order to play at the higher levels, you got to do things a certain way. You can't do it the way that maybe you've learned and thought was okay. And then, you know, you go play against the kids from the city who practice the way everyone else practices. You know, you're at a disadvantage. And I tried to prepare them for that.
My guest is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He's written a memoir about his season coaching a high school basketball team on an Apache reservation. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and his new memoir, A Season on the Reservation, is about the season that he spent coaching a high school team on an Apache reservation. And that season was 1998 to 1999. You say you wanted to teach the essentials to the kids you were coaching, and that you felt the approach you'd been taught was fading. What are some of the things that you felt really weren't being taught in the schools anymore?
Well, for one thing, the tall players aren't being taught how to play close to the basket with their back to the basket. That's a dying art in the game. We only had one really tall player, so that wasn't that crucial that we get him up to speed. He did do some work and he did do some improvement, but it really came too late. But just the way the game is played, you have to learn how to be ambidextrous in handling the ball. You have to know how to get your shot off in traffic. You have to know how to look for your teammates. You have to know how to help your teammates on defense. And these were areas that that they were not up to speed in. Not that they were the worst in the state, but if they wanted to be the best in the state, they really had to improve those things.
Did anything surprise you about the games themselves, you know, and the how many people would turn out for them, how important basketball was on the reservation?
I knew that the game was very important to the people on reservation, but I didn't really get a chance to see it in action until I was actually going to the games. These people would drive 3 or 4 hours in one direction to see their high school team play, you know. And these are people who don't they don't have a lot of money. They don't have a lot of wealth and leisure time. Yet they made a sacrifice to support the team. It was that important to them.
The team that you were coaching competed for the state championship but lost. But you think that the season was successful by several other measures. What were the ways that you were measuring the team's success?
Well, we got through the whole year. No one got suspended for substance abuse. No one was academically declared ineligible. Because a D and you can't play. D on your report card, you can't play. And I went to graduation in May, and it was the largest graduating class that they'd ever had. They put the largest amount of kids into colleges and the military services that had... It was the largest amount of kids that had ever made that transformation. So, you know, I could take some credit for that with the... with the basketball team, and you know, I felt that the basketball team really did a good job doing what it was supposed to do. You know, I really initially going there, I thought it was going to be about hoops. I would help them deal with that whole thing and improve what was happening on the court, but teaching them what it meant to have a successful life and how to move on and do well in life really ended up being the principal purpose of my being there.
Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
It was my pleasure.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar recruited a few days before he was named assistant coach of the Los Angeles Clippers. His new memoir is called A Season on the Reservation.